Thank you, everyone. Once again, let's go ahead and grab our seat. There'll be plenty of that at lunch, right at 11:30, okay? We are in our eighth week of Summer of Love, so thank you. And I'm hearing and now seeing so many of you are coming back from summer vacation, and we're thrilled about that. We've got today and two more Sundays where we merge each other together, but we will be planning to go back into two services, the beginning of the month of September, so be prepared for that. I want to really thank so many of you who have been working on a Sunday, because there is no sit and serve. We have no other service. So you work on this service Sunday, then so many of you go back onto live stream and find out, or I should say YouTube or our archives, to catch the message or something like that. But we're grateful when you get a chance to just serve the Lord. It's sweet, it's wonderful. It's the way to go. I also want to just highlight, too, I have a backpack here, and it seems like this month of August is loaded with details of still a lot of activity. So we have our back-to-school fair at Oakview Elementary School. We are distributing literally free backpacks, canvas backpacks. I'm grateful for Jane Martin Volcom for donating so many, Hope Chapels Council for contributing $3,500 toward backpacks to a needy community. If you say, does Huntington Beach have a kind of a more impoverished community? It's right there in that area of Slater and Beach. And so what we need now, all the backpacks have come in. What we're really needing now is for volunteers to help set up the carnival booths, or maybe come later to take down the carnival booths. Just want to throw that. It's on your newsletter. You can link it up, put your name in. You're up. It's very easy to do. No problems about it. Talk about activities. The 27th, we have back to school workshop with Lacey Garcia. We have the Chaplains Connect going on same Saturday. There's a lot going on. So if you're still lingering at home and wondering, hey, there's nothing going on, Hope Chapel in the summer, you need to just follow us on those links. Been great. One of the things that's been so outstanding is really just yesterday we had so many of you, and I look at you here to help build a loft house. And I want to thank Sean Knight, who's our GO director, our missions director, who assembled that plan. And if you saw a boatload of lumber assembled on a trailer, that is going to be somebody's house in Baja, Mexico. That's going to be delivered in 2 weeks. But I want to thank so many of you. Even children are out helping. It was a wonderful time. And the Men of Hope, under the direction of Bill, Ben Cowart, put together a great breakfast and lunch. Megan putting that out there as well. If you served yesterday, can we just take a curtain call? And would you just stand? And we want to thank you for touching the lives of our neighbors in the South. Yeah, thank you. Stay, remain standing. Some of you ladies, you were there. I know it. And children, come on, lady. Thank you. Yeah, it's always the shy ones. Good. And thank you. You may be seated. It's interesting because Phil, with Hands of Mercy, as well as Brian and Bo, they were so excited with Hope Chapel's work. Especially because nobody drove a nail in their hand or no one smacked. It's just wonderful. Just so exciting. Thank you, Nicolette Lou. Ladies, too, many of you ladies showed up for that work day to assemble another person's house there in Baja. And you were also on Friday night at the sisters' gathering for karaoke and jokes. So I want to thank you for gathering at it. But Nicolette, doesn't she do a marvelous job, and her crew? She works so hard. So a lot of times they're so significant. So I'm going to start. Reminds me of a good joke. Here we go. And then we'll get right into the message. Heard about these three men. They were hiking in the mountainous wilderness, and they came across a raging, fast-moving river. And they didn't know how they were going to cross this. So the first man prayed, "Oh Lord, give me the strength to cross this river." And poof, all of a sudden he sets a gun, big arms, and he swam across that river in 2 hours. Second man says, "Man, God answers prayer." He said, "Lord, give me the strength and the tools across that river. Poof, big arms and a rowboat. And he crossed that river in 30 seconds. The third man says, dear Lord, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence across that river. And so God, poof, turned him into a woman. And she... I knew some of you were like, and she looked at the map, walked 5 minutes upstream, and crossed the bridge. Way to go, girls. Where would we be without you? So as you know, we begin because we're in a series that is entitled Staying on the Path of Life. Staying on the Path of Life. I'm grateful. Thank you, Pickens. They gave me some resemblance of an original life game, the Game of Life. Have you had one of those at home? You might want to pull them out and blow the dust off. This is, you can see this one's well used here. But I was looking at, this is like 72. And you can't tell, I know that's a boy and that's a girl or vice versa, but wasn't haircuts wonderful? Those bowl cuts? I mean, so we're back at it. It's an amazing thing. But the game was all about journeying and knowing what it is, get married, have children, face home bills, purchasing, and then maybe going into debt, maybe possibility of even possible foreclosures, all kinds of things that can happen. But life can be that way. And we've gone through already a few of these messages. What happens when life really goes sideways? Talked about the compass for life. Everybody needs the Word of God. Can you imagine trying to navigate through life without your scriptures, without knowing, besides just saying, I've got a Bible in the glove box of my car? Or we looked at, especially, and I want to thank so many of you, because that was a big receiving takeaway, was the Holy Spirit's role in our life. And so many of you saw it, activated it, and the follow-through, I just give God the glory. Today, we're looking at listen to godly people. That's today's message, listen to godly people. We're dealing with the aspect of just the challenge that can happen. Isn't it interesting, at times when life gets so tough, so rugged, we really are made to be in community. That's the beautiful thing. You can see that's the benefit of us being together as we have been over these last few weeks and months. We need each other. I do hear still from time to time people that do not get into fellowship. They're not into church. They know they have a church here or resemblance there, or they like this setup of that church or that display at that church or that speaker at that church, but there's no adherence. And they literally say, well, you know what? I love Jesus, but I don't need the church. Or others will say, well, you know what? I can be a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. Well, that's true, but those are miserable people. I don't know if you know of any of them. I don't see any of them here, but they're miserable people. And they really need to come into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the choice is to not bring that misery into us, but the element is that we need each other. It's so true. It's so necessary. You know how it is. Now, we're not perfect people. No one is. This is not a perfect world. Jesus is going to make it new one day. So we just have to expect there's going to be some glitches, and it's important for us to recognize. But our country, this world, it's fractured. And you just go ahead, there are sides chosen by every issue. And it's like, what voice are you going to listen to? It's so important. Because the voice you and I listen to will determine the path that we will choose. Our series is Staying on the Path of Life. Psalm 16:11, where God says, I'll show you the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. So who's going to get me there? We know it's God, but man, it's sure nice when you have godly people in your life and listen to them, watch them. The Bible speaks a lot about gaining insight from godly people. Let's check it out here. We'll just hit a couple of them to begin with. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says this. You can see it on your screen. Get all the advice and instructions you can so you'll be wise the rest of your life. Isn't that just good advice? It's just good advice. You can read that and say, ah, sure, but get it all that you possibly can. I like Proverbs chapter 12, doing verse 5. It says, the plans of the godly are just, the advice of the wicked is treacherous. So I've been in those both camps, and I realized, wow, even wicked people don't like each other. So you never know that how people might set you up for a topple. So who are we listening to? Who is the one you're going for advice? Remember, I don't need anybody. I'm good. Well, let's see, because I'm just here to try to persuade and push you into a better place, into a better action. I like Proverbs 19:27. It says, if you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. That's just important. We cannot navigate life alone. It's really pretty much it. I like Proverbs 10, verse 17. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. So let me just give you three reasons why it's just sound logic to listen to the right people. I'm just going to say right people. I'd like to say godly people. I mean, you can't be a godly person without God. There's a lot of I believe in God people, but man, you just know that person, there's something about them. I have my relatives all the time. It's like, Paul, what do you think about that person? And Paul is, I don't want to talk about them. Let's talk about Jesus. Oh, Paul, there you go again. You're always talking about Jesus. Well, who else do we want to talk about? So it's important that many times we want to consider where is it you get your download about God and direction. So number one, the right people will speak truth to us. I like that. Just tell me the truth, because I can sometimes lose my way. Could be a friend, could be a family member, maybe, possibility, be a pastor, or maybe a teacher. People will come along and help encourage us and challenge us. I found a great story in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, you can go ahead and find your way there in chapter 12. Let me set the stage. The stage is basically this, that Nathan the prophet is going to confront King David. And before he does, this is what happens. So what happens and taking place is that we have this element where all of a sudden we have David. The Bible says in chapter 11, verse 1, it was in the spring of the year when the kings go off to battle, and David decides to stay home. He sends his commander, Joab, off to do the battles. But that was a problem because David stays home. And the scripture says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, that he walks out on the veranda and looks down, and he sees a woman of incredible beauty bathing. Now, it's amazing. Have you ever found that when you say, I just need a little relaxation, and you go on this extended hiatus from everything, you say, well, I'm just kind of relaxing. Man, our minds are incredibly creative. You never stop thinking. Do watch out when you're relaxed too much. I'm telling you, you go unchecked, I go unchecked, we become creative in how to go about doing evil things or lustful things, and you have to be careful. This happened to David. He's just going to say, I deserve a little break today. And he goes out and inquires about this beauty he's looking at. Now, you've been with us in Israel. We went to what they've discovered is the possibility of David's palace. And you could see across the Kedron Valley, there are these homes nestled on the hillsides. Like, I could see everybody's hill. You could certainly see everybody's top of their roof and see how David could really see someone bathing. Why is she doing it there? I'm not sure. But what takes place is that David inquires about this woman. Comes back to him, says, this is the daughter of Elam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He should have stopped right there. Yes, he invites her to the palace. He sleeps with her. news gets back to David that she is now pregnant, and oh yeah, David, it's your baby. So he devised a plan to go and summons her husband, Uriah, off of the front battle lines to come home. Now, have you ever lied? I have. And you kind of like, doesn't add up, so you have to create a second lie to cover the first lie. Have you ever done that? Holy moly. And then somebody says, well, that second lie stinks too. And you make a third lie. And before you know it, you're the biggest liar in town. It's kind of like what David is doing. So he summons for Uriah. He asks him, you know what? How's the battle going? Great. Why don't you go on home and nestle with your wife? But he's loyal to David and his troops. And he does not go home at all. And he is reported to David to be laying in the square on the ground. Why did you do that, Uriah? I told you to go home. Because he says, the armies of Israel are out in the field. Who am I to go home and be embraced by my wife? So David decides to get him liquored up the next night. You know how that is, the inebriated, where you make, maybe I can risk it this time. Same thing, next morning, there's Uriah camped out on the floor in the square. David's upset, writes a note, puts it in Uriah's hand to tell Commander Joab, make sure you get Uriah right to the front of the battle and have our troops pull back, make sure he's dead. Holy moly, can you imagine that? I mean, this is the guy that the Star of David is. I mean, can you? I like that about the Bible. It's so very transparent. This is the guy that has a heart after God. But man, he's boatload of just big-time mistakes here. I think there's hope for me. Don't you feel uncomforting a little bit? And all of a sudden, if somehow, maybe, David didn't have good, godly people around him to say, don't do that. I know some solid Christians that start to wall off themselves from good input. And then all of a sudden, what happened to them? Man, they fell from grace. They're leaving their spouse. And they forsook everything. What took place? Well, I knew what was happening. He just wouldn't, or she wouldn't let me talk to them. They put up walls. It's probably what happened to David until God sent in the prophet Nathan. Let's take a look here because we have that going on. I'm now in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. It's a lengthy portion. Let's see, because we're taking a look how right people will speak truth to you. So it says, so the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. Here's the king's response. David was furious. And as surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. And the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stole his wife. And from this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. And this is what the Lord says, because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan. He finally got it. I'm in trouble. I have sinned against the Lord. And I like that aspect. It's always good to know. We know when we sin against people, we know better. It's ultimately against the Lord. Nevertheless, verse 14, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord, by doing this, your child will die. New King James, I like that, says, because you have done this, you've now given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. That's pretty potent when you talk spiritual realm. It's kind of like the old Satan walks in saying about Job stuff, where they say, yeah, I thought this was your elect. Is this the best you got? Kind of a thing. We've heard that from others. Like, who does that person think they are? I know what they do with their finances. Blah, blah, blah. So it's amazing. We have to be careful about that. None of us are perfect, but we sure need a good friend to come along and confront us like that. That helped David to get back on track. Get back on track. Can you imagine he went on and nothing ever changed? It'd be sobering, wouldn't it? Probably changed the trajectory of Israel. Letter A, a true friend is one that cares more about your character than your comfort. People that are interested in wanting to watch and see and make sure that our lives are where they need to be, as opposed to affirming us. If you have nothing but good people that are always speaking well of you, but never address the things you need to do, you may want to just go over and check your friends list. Because every time we need people that will come along and say, why are you doing it that way? It's important for us. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Proverbs 27, verse 5, says this, an open rebuke is better than hidden love, and wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. I've had them both, and boy, it sure stings when you get rebuked. And you just know they're right. We all have that element, but I already have this insecurity element. Why are you telling, I'm not measuring up, but they're right. And I need to do better. No doubt about it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So it's important. We're talking about staying on the path of life. Listen to godly people. Who would be those ones? So number one, boy, those right people speak truth. Number two, right people will speak wisdom to us. Right people will speak wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom basically is knowledge that is properly applied. There's a lot of smart people, know a boatload of things, but they really don't know how to apply it in life. They lack wisdom. It's important for us to have that. So when you have people around that start to just say, wow, that is so smart, how to apply that or how to step into that, it's important. They don't just share knowledge. There's steps to applying that knowledge. Man, that's a good one. Have people like that to say, this is how I would go about it. Check out Proverbs 24:6. It says this, so don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. So back to the story of David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, naturally, they married because he knew that that child within her, now he needs to find a way to just remedy that. He goes and marries her. Eventually, that child does die. But God is gracious, and they have another child. David and Bathsheba have a little guy named Solomon. Later, to come into the throne after David, King Solomon is his name. Don't you love that about the Lord? I find that intriguing. You know, works of darkness will blaspheme God's people. But you hang on and be true to God. He will take your life and elevate and plateau you so that people around saying, but wow, it seems like the Lord's working on their behalf. And that's exactly what happens. It's interesting because we're talking about wisdom, and it's noted here because we have an occasion. Solomon seems to have, at the time, the most wise person on the planet. And the occasion that I want to present to you is in 1 Kings chapter 3. And the story in history goes that we have two harlots, each have a little baby, and one of those babies dies. The mother of the dead baby at night goes and takes the live baby and claims that as hers. The mother says, no, I know this is my baby you now have, and she takes it all the way to the king. How the king gets an entertainment with this and an audience, it's incredible. But check out the wisdom of King Solomon, because we're talking about the right people will give you some good wisdom. But here we have then king, I'm in verse 23. I'm hoping you're following with me. 1 Kings 3:23. Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, cut the living child in two, and give half to one woman and half to the other woman. Then the woman, who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much, cried out, oh, no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. And when all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom of God given him for rendering justice. I like that story. There's something about it when you sit down with somebody and you say, wow, that is right. How did you come up with that? But beautiful thing about godly people like you, is that God starts to give wisdom from above. That's what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Let him ask God. I'm telling you, the wisdom of God is first pure, peaceable, willing to heal, full of good fruit. Find out those people that are walking in that kind of wisdom. There's a lot of smart people out there, but walk in godly wisdom is incredible. Little notes on your card there. You can see here that the power and wisdom that wise friend can see through our excuses. And that a wise friend can see the truth even when we cannot see the truth. And that a wise friend can quickly set the error of our ways straight. Who do you have in your life that can do that for you? That's important. Because we all have blind spots. I know I do. I just don't know what they are. If I knew what they were, they wouldn't be a blind spot. But I need somebody to say, wow, Paul, why do you do that? Well, do what? Have you ever had to do what? This is the way my aunt did it. This is the way my grandmother did it. So it's important that we have people come along. Letter A, surround yourself with wise people, and you will grow wise. I like Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. We're talking staying on the path of life. We're talking about that. And life has enough challenges. Why associate with people that are not really fully vested in your interests? Success in life comes from wisdom. I like this. Check it out, because who doesn't want this? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, and the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. I just want to, who are those smart people out there? And we're not just talking intelligent, no rogue information, but seem to really have the hand of God on their life and walking in such a way that they know how to just do and navigate discreetly things. That's incredible. That's the beauty of our collective life groups. That's the beauty of doing work projects together. That's an amazing thing for young people to hang out with older people. It's a beauty, and it happens in church settings. It really does. I don't know of any institution that provides an ability we have to listen to godly people like we do in a church setting. It's rich and it's wonderful. Number three, the right people will speak encouragement to us. I cannot imagine not having people in my life that will encourage me. I remember so many occasions when somebody jumped in and spoke a word of encouragement where I felt there was nothing more I had to give. The encouragement I needed to transition from the family printing business into ministry that I had no understanding how I was going to afford my wife and my first child. I had no collective way to foresee the future. It was just sheer faith. I needed people that would encourage me. There's plenty of people that could talk economy with me and economics with me, and that only heightened my anxiety. But I needed people who would be able to encourage me. I thank God for my wife, if you're listening, Ainsley. Thank you. The ways that she knew and would pull out, why are you doing those things that way? And I know God's going to take care of it because it's going at it with a pure heart. Let's see what he does. Oh, man, okay, let's see what God does. It's important to have that. The primary role of the church is to do just that, is to encourage people to say, that a boy, keep it up with Jesus. We need that. That's why you come. I know that's why you come. That's why I come. We need each other. Let's not be miserable people staying home, only dwelling on our own misery. Let's take a look. I like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It's wonderful. I love Hebrews chapter 10. Matter of fact, check out this rendering. I should probably pull it out. I call that sermon the 12 heads of lettuce. Let us do this. And it's an amazing thing how Scripture talks about that. Check it out. Get an example of it. Verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways. You know, that's what our GO committee, that's what our mission committee does. Let's think of ways to create avenues for people to get acts of love and good works done. That's what our chaplains do. Let's think of ways to get acts of love and good works going. Isn't that beautiful? We need those departments. Let's do that. We're doing that. And now we just say, let's all get in it together and jump on in. Well, let's go to verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Times are near, very important. There are so many ways with which Scripture says one another. I love that. I recognize there's certain powers and dimensions that if I don't have you in my life, that fulfillment of Scripture will not happen. It will not happen. It happens in the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. So, I like 1 Thessalonians 5 because letter A says, allow God to use you to be the right person for others. That's where I want to end it off with this. Allow God to use you to be the right person for others. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, who do you want me to encourage today? Almighty God, who do you want me to pray for today? Just give me one person today. You know what? He will. Because he knows you're engaged and you'll be prepared when that person crosses your path. You'll hear his voice. Little inner awareness. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. It's already happening. Keep it going. I want to just say New Testament contains 59 one another statements. Here's a few of them. They're on your notes. I just like them. These are the one another's. Here's a few. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Accept one another. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We just saw that. Pray for each other and love one another. Godly people. Isn't that great? Love that. Thank you for listening. It's sure fun to be able to walk down this path of life with you. Thank God for that. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you do that for me, please? We always recognize the need and the importance for people to always make decisions, just decisions, in the right way. Just say, Lord, man, I may be making some poor choices. Or maybe we don't want to judge anyone's friends, but man, if you lack godly influence in your life, you may want to just start there. And then secondly, Lord, I want to be that person that when somebody comes to me, I'll at least pray in the name of Jesus for them. But let's pray that right now. Father, we thank you. Lord, would you move our hearts? Would you allow us to have a complete element, Lord, where we feel we're where we need to be, and people will encourage us, hey, you are on that path of life. Lord, we want to thank you. And may you lead us like you told the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, we thank you and speak your blessing over Hope Chapel and those who are joining us today online. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.